Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The B government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio, your alternative to the corporate narrative and the mainstream agenda. It is August the 6th, 2015, the 70th anniversary of the attack on Hiroshima from the United States, as well as the first Republican debate, which has just finished. What a clown show. A lot of warmongering going on, a lot of not answering questions. What do you expect from politicians? It's, you know, you kind of have to laugh to keep from crying watching these kind of things. You know, it seems like it's more corporate bought and paid for politicians, except for maybe Donald Trump, who actually admitted that he's the one that buys and sells politicians. Earlier on in the debates, for those who didn't see it, Rand Paul actually called him out and said that. And then later on, he said it himself, that he would buy politicians. But let's go ahead and get into the numbers for the evening. 699 Americans have been killed by police officers so far in 2015. 71 officers have died in the line of duty. The allies, the great American allies, Saudi Arabia, 114 beheadings. 114 beheadings. The city of Chicago has seen 1,657 people shot so far this year with their gun control laws. 1,657. 286 homicides. There have already been 60 people shot in the city of Chicago in August. We're 6 days in. That's 10 people shot a day and 7 homicides so far for the month. As always, we are joined by Mr. Shannon Madden, the wonderful producer. Shannon, how are you doing, sir?
Absolutely wonderful. Mr. Gibson, just kind of trying to regain my composure after laughing my ass off and also getting simultaneously pretty sick the past hour and a half or so. Wow, what a debate. Wasn't that great?
Oh, man, it was
something.
It sure definitely
was. It was definitely something. I think we can all agree on that. Megyn Kelly looks stunning. She really does.
That's just all you. I don't get it.
I'm sorry. She's very glamorous. She's very blonde. She's very, very Aryan. Very Aryan.
Oh, probably. My gosh. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Good times.
She's absolutely disgusting to me. But I want to talk about something that Scott Walker said during the debate tonight that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that stuck out or stuck in, I should say. I hate that guy. But not a fan.
But no, definitely not. Okay, he mentioned, they were asking him about...
Did you see his hair? I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring this up, but did you see his hair?
It was pretty ridiculous.
It was bad.
they were talking about how we handle the situation overseas, and, you know, everybody was going on their warmongering speech about who to bomb, blah, blah. And then he said, well, I met with leaders of Saudi Arabia, and their biggest complaint was the disengagement in the area from the United States. So this guy is on national TV tonight suggesting that Saudi Arabia wants us over there fighting their wars, which we say on this program almost every single night. And he said it on national TV, worldwide television, in a presidential debate. And nobody thought that that was something to be concerned about. Nobody thought that was anything to worry about.
Nothing to see here, guys.
Yeah, he's like, I met with the Saudis, and their biggest problem is that we're not over in the region enough. Mind you, over in the region enough, I want to give y'all a number of something. Over the past year, United States-led airstrikes in Syria and Iraq have killed somewhere, we know, 489 people, but it could go all the way up to 1,247 people. So somewhere between basically 500 and 1,200 people.
And these are
citizens. These are just civilians. This is nothing to do with any militant forces or ISIS. This is all civilians. We also know that over 100 children have been killed by the United States-led bombings and strikes in Syria and Iraq over the past 363 days. But the Saudi says we aren't engaged enough. And Scott Walker's on TV saying
not
that he's going to saying he's going to continue being a puppet for Saudi Arabia.
Doesn't Saudi Arabia know how much money we have spent to put ISIS in the region so it can justify us still remaining there? I mean, come on, man. I mean, what do these people want?
Yeah.
Was that insensitive, these people? I'm sorry, I shouldn't
have. I'll say this for it. It was addressed, and he didn't get really cheers for it. You know, Rand Paul at least mentioned that we've been arming ISIS this whole time. But
everybody just kind of
looked at him like, you know, he was a conspiracy theorist and moved on. But at least somebody mentioned it in the debates. It's not like it was something that people discussed or wanted to think about because, oh, how could our country do that? Well, it's true. So, you know, at least somebody brought it up. But overall, what was your take of the debate, Shannon?
One very important thing, and this is actually something that a dear friend of ours, Zen, over at Free Citizens Coalition, were talking about earlier today, about Donald Trump and the fact that if Donald Trump was somewhat victorious in the debates and then possibly after the showings or the poll showings after the debate, that it could actually start to signify a shifting of the media actually being able to control which politicians we get to see in these debates to begin with. Now, saying that, or as far as which ones get to go on to the next one, Donald Trump definitely was reamed hard by Fox and kind of was given a lot of his opponents were given some really good ammunition right out of the gate by little Miss Megyn Kelly. Bless her heart. Look at the mirror ring, man. She's just so glittery and shiny. She's not real. Yeah, we're going to find out she's a hologram at some point.
Yeah, she's not real, all right.
But, yeah, I think what we are seeing is we are seeing more of the same. Fox has pretty much had a complete stronghold on not only just the moderation and location and so on and so forth, but the people that actually got to watch this. One of the gripes that I saw on social media before I came over tonight was the fact that if you didn't have cable and you couldn't you didn't go ahead and download the Fox app, then you were watching this.
Well, you were because you could find it.
Yeah,
there was definitely people out there watching that didn't have cable. I can tell you for sure.
I know.
I helped some people track down some links that didn't exist.
You didn't give me one. Hell, I would have stayed at home and watched it.
But I tell you what, let's take a break from the debates for a second and bring on one of our wonderful journalists that we love to have on here quite a bit, the wonderful Miss Claire Burnish. Claire, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Miss Claire.
Hi, I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
Spectacular.
Can't complain. So, what's going on in your world right now, Claire? What big stories are you working on?
I have something in the works, actually, that's very revealing about something that's been very controversial, and I think it has to do with the California drought, and people will be rather stunned about it. So I really don't want to say anything else, but it's big. So
now, I kind of know where you're going, and I'm going to just throw this name out there.
See, y'all know what's going on. I'm totally clueless to this. So this is fascinating.
I'm just going to throw the name of a corporation out there, Nestle.
That's candy bars. Oh, man. When's the last time you had
there's a candy bar shortage in California. That's what it's going to be.
So, well, now that right there is a pure hell.
Yeah. That's,
I can't understand or imagine or conceive a world without candy.
Yeah, that's...
The candy drought.
Water, I don't know why everybody's freaking out about water. Nestle Crunch, delicious.
Exactly. So what other stories have you been working on lately, Claire? What else is going on in your world?
I did an article about campaign finance, which really, really highlighted wealth disparity in the country. Amazingly so, actually, because at no other time in history has the concentration of a huge amount of money been donated by such a small group of people, basically. So it's worse than actually how Twain described the latter half of the 19th century as the Gilded Age. Somebody characterized, I can't remember what his name was, but he characterized it as the Platinum Age, because it's kind of above and beyond anything that we've seen before in terms of, and it's not income disparity, it's wealth disparity. There's a big difference, and it doesn't get very much attention, but it's highlighted in this campaign donation, kind of the analysis of that. It says, let's see here, oh yeah, the top 10% hold 75% of the wealth in the country. So you have that as a background statistic. But it was for the campaigns, for the presidential election, half of hundreds of millions, which was over $200 million at the time that I wrote this, was donated by less than 400 total families.
Wow. That'd be, let me do the math here. Help me here. 5 million a family. That is a lot of money to pick who gets to be the president of the United States or a congressperson or Donald Trump.
Well, that was said on the debates tonight. I mean, this was brought up, what you're talking about. Like, Trump was admitting to buying and selling politicians.
Straight up. Yeah. I mean, strut, no bones about it. There are people here that I'm standing on the stage with right now that I've given a sizable amount to all of their contributions. I throw money everywhere. I give it to Hillary, gave it to y'all. I mean, what do you want? What do you want from
and
me?
He says, when I give them money, I get something back from them.
Always.
And they pressed him on the question, and he said, well, with Diane Feinstein, I made her, you know, come to my wedding or something, blah, 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 whatever. He wouldn't go too...
I think she'd be a fun wedding guest. I don't know about a congressperson.
But he wouldn't get too in-depth with it. But irrelevant.
Well, this is the logical result of what happens when you...
Basically
political speech, free speech, and you make free speech money. I mean, this is what happens.
Pay my friend to come to a wedding for me? I mean, what kind of world are we coming to here? Yeah. Bought and sold. We are bought and sold, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about so often on this show. Bought and sold by corporate America.
And the thing about it is the stuff that we talk about on a weekly basis on the show, and I know Nick talks about as well.
All week long.
This stuff was said in these debates in front of the world tonight, and it's still...
In open.
And the stuff, people still have their head in the sand.
No apology given whatsoever. No fucks given. None.
Brand talking about us supplying all the weapons to ISIS and training and funding them. Trump saying that he just buys and sells politicians at will. Scott Walker talking about Saudi Arabia's telling us we should go fight the wars
and
for
cheese.
Them.
He was talking about cheese, too, at some point.
Well, Scott Walker, for one, of $20 million raised for his super PAC. That's the super PACs are the organizations that basically make this possible, make this huge, these huge donations, unlimited donations possible. $13.5 million of his $20 million raised came from only four donors.
Wow.
That's disgusting. That's unreal.
I didn't like that guy anyways. I'm sorry. He was my least, out of all of them, if we had to pick a popularity contest as far as the answers given and so on and so forth, my bottom two were definitely Scott Walker and Chris, both fingers up, Christie. That guy, wow.
Yeah, and I think you know, and I don't know, you don't get into the theater as much of it, Claire, but me and Shannon, like me specifically, I watch it like it's a football game or
no,
WWE.
Wrestling match.
Yeah,
wrestling
you know,
match.
It's theater, and to sit here and watch it, and realizing it's going to be like the leader of the country, it kind of puts you in disbelief that it's gone this far, but if you kind of distance yourself from that and acknowledge we really don't have a choice on who we're going to get anyway, so just enjoy the theater of it,
Well, you can't take it seriously. I mean,
no,
you can't look at this, and you cannot take this seriously as anything even resembling an election. I mean, come on. It's not even close.
There's nothing
Chris
about it.
Christie, right. You had said Chris Christie, and he a donor, one of his biggest donors to the campaign is actually trying to get a $4 billion casino built in Christie's state in New Jersey. And he's the biggest, you know, he's the biggest contributor to his campaign. So, you know, that'll never happen, right?
I will bet he'll get it. I guarantee. I got a feeling.
That's going to be coincidence,
yeah.
Though. That's going to be coincidence.
Friends, just helping friends. I can't help my
friend. He went to his wedding.
I can't help my friend get a casino. Come on now.
He just went to his wedding.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
I figure some of the examples for, if you want, I can read a couple of those. These examples.
Oh, by all means, Miss Claire, by all means, please.
Let's see. For Marco Rubio, of his $16 million total, $12.5 million of that was contributed by four people, or four, you know, entities. Let's see. Ted Cruz, he has several super PACs, and they raised $37 million. And they were most of that money came from about three families, including the largest single known political donor who contributed $11 million on his own.
Wow. That Pat Robertson, right? Nah, wait. I'll guess. I'll get it. Hang on.
let's see. Jeb Bush has its largest campaign total at $103 million, with 26 donors each giving $1 million apiece.
And all with the last name of Bush. Yeah. Well, maybe a Cheney thrown about, too. Come on now.
Yeah, but also Hillary Clinton, of her $15 million, she had nine contributors giving $1 million or more apiece. So,
how much has Hillary raised so far?
Well, this was saying 15. But I think those figures are just, I mean, obviously the money just piles up by the day.
But
so.
That's just for that certain amount of money. Okay.
Right.
I guess.
Especially
right.
For Ms. Clinton, because Ms. Clinton's got a lot more international donors than some of these other
no.
presidents. Oh, yes, she does. Secretary of State has its perks.
That's not, none Pitch. Of that's true. None of that's true.
Well, Citizens United, I mean, the big problem here is that individual, like politicians are only allowed, the candidates are only allowed to receive a total of $2,700 per contributor, so that they're capped by that amount. And the super PACs basically just avoid that law altogether. They just funnel the money into political ads and everything else in the form of what the Supreme Court called free speech. So it's like they just said, you know what, we don't like that law, so we're going to do it this way instead. It's basically what it comes down to.
And it's become such a big business to run for president. I mean, the majority of these people running, maybe all of these people running outside of one person, knows the outcome of what's going to happen, and they run to make money. It's like writing a book nowadays, kind of. You get a large sum of money and make a lot of money to run for president.
Well, and again, Trump already has a lot of money, his own personal money, in his favor, at least for the moment. But again, that's only going to carry you so far because we've actually reported projections that Hillary may top $1 billion.
Well,
$1 billion total by the time that the presidential election does take place. Let's go ahead and throw caution to the wind.
I'm sure she
in
will.
Case,
I mean,
you know,
she wouldn't be the first. So I'm
oh,
sure
no,
she
oh,
will.
No, I believe our current president raised
Romney did as well.
Yes.
And Obama was actually the very first candidate to do that in 2008, yeah. And then in 2012 they both did. So I fully expect Hillary to do that.
God, can you imagine how much good that $1 billion?
And that's the thing: these candidates talk about how they want to help this, you know, help these people or help these people, and they're spending $1 billion.
Help themselves,
right?
And their friends, their corporate American mm-hmm. friends.
There's only one way to characterize this. It's disgusting.
Absolutely. Right.
It really is disgusting, and how do people not realize that all these politicians are completely bought and sold? I mean, again, it was said on national TV tonight
by the man that wrote the check. I mean, how bizarre was that? And it went completely unchecked. Well, not completely. I believe you got to see the earlier debate.
Rand mentioned it at the beginning, yeah. and he said that he was hedging his bets on the Clintons, and he bought and sold politicians, and they just kind of passed it off as Rand Paul being nuts. And then later down the line, Trump just starts talking.
Throws
about
both middle fingers up and says, "Yeah, I'm giving money to all of y'all. What are y'all bitching about? Y'all, that's the reason y'all are standing here right now. Come on." Wow.
What a farce.
It yeah. really is a farce, and they say, well, they just want to serve people. Nobody is spending $1 billion, and if it's just to make, who spends $1 billion to get a 500,000
just to help their friend become president,
to
come
get
on,
a job
friends,
for
friends
half
having friends.
Right.
Friends.
They want to serve people, all right. They want to serve people as long as they're members of the corporation they're, you know, entitled, you know, enmeshed with. They don't serve any people. Come on.
They serve people, but it's none of us. There's some people
exactly.
that serve.
It's corporate interests and, you know, the elite rich people. It's nobody else. Nobody else at all.
I guess if you're lucky enough to be related to one of them, you'd be Roger Clinton and get off with something. But other than that, it's all just a bunch of broke people.
Two words, baby. Billy Beer. That's all yeah. I can say about it.
That's the truth.
So, yeah, that happened.
So, Claire, here's somebody that they showed tonight, and I can't say I knew a lot about him myself, was John Kasich, and you probably know more about him than anybody. So give everybody the
he was getting some
guy.
Very loud applause. Actually, there were a couple things. We kind of both looked at each other. It's like, who's this guy think he is coming up in the room being somebody? Especially on the issue of gay marriage, where you suddenly saw, and this is kind of unprecedented, where you saw pretty much all of the Republican candidates kind of take a large step back from previous politics, but particularly now that they have cameras aimed at them.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely led the charge, said straight out he's got gay friends, was at a gay wedding the other day. Hey, we're good here.
But how political is that answer, too?
Well, Claire, actually, you hear the laughter in her voice. She knows something we don't. Miss Claire, let us in on your little secret.
I don't really have a secret. It's just that he, if you can rub two brain cells together, you probably don't like him.
Well, that's who in the debates tonight is not that, though, if you can rub two brain cells together.
Exactly. I'm kind of done with politics at this point. I grew up in politics. My dad was a politician, and it's become such a money-infused back-patting. Everybody plays two sides of the coin. You're not voting for anybody. In my opinion, an election will be an election in this country when we have, like, hundreds and hundreds of people to choose from, and everybody gets to choose somebody who is actually qualified to run a country instead of, you know, a corporate interest country acting militarily around the world.
Obviously, Ms. Claire, you've never seen The Apprentice, have you?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, there's your problem right there. You need to go get educated, woman.
But see, I mean, but what's next? I mean, it's Simon Cowell for prime minister? I mean,
oh, man, he would be awesome.
There it is. I've already put it.
Him and Trump, a ticket together? I'm sorry, blockbuster.
I put the bug in the ear. Simon Cowell for prime minister.
Howard Stern for Secretary of Defense.
Let's make it happen. Might as well.
All right, let me take some notes real quick.
Snooki for Secretary of Treasury. Let's just get all the reality stars in here.
Mike, the situation. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There's a situation going on, all right.
Department of Education. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Claire, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Oh, actually, before Miss Claire, before you get off air, I got to ask you something really quick. This popped up we kind of got lost signals last week when we were talking about what's going on in Cincinnati with Mr. DeBose. Recently caught a story that the city of Cincinnati has halted the campus police stopping traffic off campus. Lost over in the...
around the country, because it's happening on more campuses nationwide as well. But it actually kind of, it almost makes sense if they were actually, you know, protecting citizens and fighting crime and not pulling people over for missing license plates. But beside the point, the campus police have to cover the area around the university because UC is like over 43,000 students. And so naturally not everybody can live on campus, and the whole area is just filled with apartments of students, and so they have student concerns. And the premise is that the UC police should be able to deal with student concerns no matter where they happen, and they are likely to happen off campus. So they have this overlapping sort of foggy, I don't know, area that kind of encompasses both Cincinnati police and UC police. So that's the premise. I mean, it almost makes sense, but when you have something like what happened to Mr. DeBose, you know, it needs to be looked at more carefully. So.
Well, and obviously, I guess by the city of Cincinnati, going ahead and banning the 6-year deal that they've had with campus police to go ahead and patrol off duty, I don't know. In your opinion, do you think that's a good decision or not?
I think it is, because what really happens is they end up being, you know, revenue generators. They're not really doing anything. They're not really fighting the crime, helping the students out. You know,
I agree.
On the street. Yeah. So
now there's I want to bring this up real quick, Claire. A story that's come out since we talked to you last. The killer cop in question, and I won't say his name here on the air, but out of, I believe, 12 incidences where the UC police force, or they used force, 4 of them were him, 25% of them were here over the past, year or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
And this guy was still out patrolling the street.
Incredible.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yes. And that's a symptom nationwide, too. I mean, you know, it takes an absolute tragedy to happen before we look at where these police came from. And basically, if anything happens, if they get fired from their department, then they basically go somewhere else and get hired by another department. It's ridiculous. There needs to be some sort of prevention for that. It shouldn't happen. You do it wrong once, you're going to do it wrong again.
I mean, if you put a bullet in somebody and they didn't have a gun about to shoot you, then not you should be in jail, and there shouldn't even be a discussion of should they keep their job.
Yes, exactly. And further than that, you hear police like older police who, I don't know, 30 years ago, they talk about how they had guns drawn on their, you know, at their head, and they just wrestled the person to the ground and didn't even have to shoot them at all. And now, you know, you get shot for a missing license plate. So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Me and a friend of mine were discussing this the other day, too, and talking about the old TV show, The Andy Griffith Show, and about how, first off, you know, on the show, Andy didn't even carry a gun unless he needed it. And Barney was so stupid, basically, and would shoot himself or shoot somebody else that Andy wouldn't even let him carry any bullets, and he made him just put a bullet in his pocket. So it's like, you know, what happened to the days when if you do have some doofus police officer, they take their bullets away from them? Right? I know it's a stupid TV show, but at the same time, we're living with a bunch of Barney Fifes going around just shooting people right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's just got worse and worse and worse as years go by.
I came up with a theory tonight, as a matter of fact, if you're interested.
Yes, ma'am.
Always.
Okay. I was thinking about the militarization of police, and basically we recruit people who are attracted to violence in the first place, and they're attracted to the idea of using these military you know, quote unquote toys. And we train, we will hire police that have like lower IQs. I mean, there are places where a higher IQ is literally prohibited for the police force. And then we train them to look at all civilians as the other. And we put them on the street. We're basically infantilizing these people who think they're being, you know, so badass on the street. They're basically becoming mindless drones with the reflexes and the reactions of a child. And that's a scary thought.
It's terrifying.
And we've seen it. We've seen it. I mean, there's footage of it right now, the footage of this case we're talking about, and so many others more. You know, like, you ain't going to run from me. I'll just go ahead and shoot you. I'm not going to actually go ahead and take the effort to chase you, or I've already got your information. I'll just find you later. Or you know, go ahead and get my car and just try to follow you or this, that. You know, no, I'm just going to go ahead and drop you right here, and then we'll try to explain this whole messy situation after the fact. We saw it in South Carolina. We've seen it in this case, and we are definitely going to see it again.
I'm afraid we will.
I'm afraid we are.
It doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon, and it's just unfortunate.
Nope. Quite.
But I tell you what, Claire, thank you so, so much for calling in this evening and giving us the update about everything that's going on in Cincinnati. And we look forward to reading your article about, which may or may not be Nestle, coming up soon.
They got great candy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Claire.
Good to talk to you. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
So for those of y'all just joining us, we started the show off talking about the GOP debates a little bit and kind of the circus that ensued on stage tonight.
Is it my imagination, or is Jeb Bush turning more and more and more into his father every day? I think he needs to go with LASIK and drop the glasses. He started there, maybe he kind of work around.
I'll say this. He can't completely be his father because...
you think he might be wearing the glasses because he thinks he's looking too much like G-Dub?
He can't have that, can he?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're screwed either way.
But he'll never be enough like his father because he wasn't on the ground when Kennedy got shot just like his dad was.
His dad protected Kennedy, remember?
He did a good job.
That didn't happen.
But, yeah. For those of y'all who don't know that George Herbert Walker Bush was on the ground when Kennedy was shot.
America.
Mm-hmm. So here's a rundown real quick of the debates and what happened tonight in the debates. We're going to start World War III and Bob Iran.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to happen. And
so if you're from Iran listening to the show, remember that deal we just gave you? It's fixing to be off the table if the GOP gets their guy or gal or whoever in.
Every single candidate pretty much suggested go bomb Iran. Ben Carson, not so much.
I liked him.
Rand Paul, not so much. Both of them didn't fully say we're going to start World War III. You know, you can read in between the lines on those two candidates.
And I think that was what I really took away from this right here, too, was the fact that the candidates that I actually liked are the candidates that I have absolutely no shot whatsoever of going anywhere past this debate.
But that being said, you know, for whatever that's worth, you know, these candidates are never going to win. But every other candidate on that stage was unashamedly just saying, yep, this is what we're going to do. We're talking about putting soldiers in Ukraine and Poland and just going into Eastern Europe, Russia. I mean, they were literally talking about starting World War III, and they didn't care. People were cheering them, like, this is great. I was talking, this is something I found very interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today who also happened to be a pastor, and with the whole Hiroshima thing going on, today being the 70th anniversary of it, he was talking about how so many Republicans are pro-life, and yet at the same time, so many of these exact same people are wanting to see our nuclear armaments built up and built up and built up, which, by the way, there's a story on the antimedia.org right now about how we are getting ready to spend almost $1 trillion, $1 trillion to update the nuclear arsenal.
The next 30 years, yes, $1 trillion.
But what my friend pointed out was, he said, think about all these Republicans, conservative, quote-unquote, conservative people or whatever. He's like, where's the line for them? They're against abortion, but if you're a woman that's pregnant and you drop a nuclear bomb on them, like, do they have a problem with that? They don't seem to. What about these 100 children that have gotten killed in Iraq and Syria by U.S.-led forces over the past year? Nobody seems to have a problem with that. They cheer when they talk about bombing Iran, and it just goes to show you that nobody's consistent in what they say they believe. You can't be for pro-life in one instance and pro-death in another instance, which is clearly what's happening.
Very pro-death.
But because they wave a flag in front of it and talk about how this is to keep you safe, they go along with it and think that, you know, everybody's coming to get them. I don't know how many times almost every candidate said tonight that Iran's about to get the bomb. Iran's about to get the bomb. They've been saying this for over 20 years. Iran's about to get the bomb. Iran's about to get the bomb. Hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. It's to create fear. Chris Christie was talking about, he made a comment about at earlier before the debates about how Rand Paul should have to go in front of Congress if there is a terrorist attack and explain himself over the NSA. And they got into a debate over the NSA, and Chris Christie doubled down on what he had said, basically, and said, well, he should, because we need this to keep people safe. We need to spy on all Americans. They're openly saying this stuff. They're openly coming out and saying it in front of all these people.
Well, I'll tell you who tripled down, and that was Ben Carlson when he came right back behind them and started talking about, well, I don't even know why we're sitting here talking about this at all. That's one of those things that, you know, we're in the middle of war. We just need to calm down. Everybody just needs to calm down and not even talk about it at all. We shouldn't be discussing these matters in public. We shouldn't be discussing the fact in public that we're not only getting the, you know, potential text messages and dick pics from ISIS, but we're also getting all of the other information too. And we don't need to discuss it. The United States doesn't need to discuss it with what they're doing it for, to the citizens that put them in office for. They don't need to discuss that at all. They just need to go ahead and do it, not tell anybody about it. I mean, these are our candidates. This is who we get to pick for president. It's either that or Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and some other people.
But it's, you know, ultimately the sad part is these are the group of people that the next president is going to come from, but it's chosen for us. We don't have any real say in this.
No.
This, you know, there's more, people have more say in who wins American Idol than they do the next president of the United States.
Well, I can tell you right now it's not going to be any of that field of candidates right there, because I didn't see the first boot on anybody's head.
I don't know.
Robert Supreme.
He does that, and you are definitely a fan of Vermin Supreme.
Free candy. Who's not a fan of free candy?
And ponies. Nobody promised free ponies tonight.
I did not hear a cent. I heard plenty about bombing Iran, and you know, we need to be pro-life in one instance, but not pro-life in the other. But no free ponies.
No free ponies at all.
Rand Paul didn't give any free ponies.
He didn't at all.
Neither did Megyn Kelly. Hey, girl.
Manny, how you doing tonight, sir?
That's pretty good. Hey, how you doing? For a minute, I thought I was listening to Fox News. I said, why are we wasting our time talking about these clowns anyway? You know,
I'll say this, Manny. Your candidate definitely looked the best tonight with nobody for president. That's definitely who shined the best.
Yeah, he actually gained a lot of percentage points in the polls tonight.
I think so. I definitely think he came out ahead.
Well, that's a good thing, you know. I was listening to you guys, and I'm wondering, what the hell, is it a slow day down there in Birmingham, Alabama, or what? You know
me, Manny.
Well, it's all about Fox News down here. You can't go anywhere. You go into McDonald's down here, and you're going to see Fox News. And, Manny, that is no joke. I am not exaggerating
really not.
One bit whatsoever.
It's pretty sad.
You go anywhere in and around Alabama, for that matter, and you're going to see Fox News. If you're in a public place, I think even some of the courthouses, there's Fox News over in the corner.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. As you guys noticed, with John Crawford down here, we listened to his dad speak, and basically there's a boycott, you know, starting August 5th to September 5th and stuff like that. You know, today's one of those days when I'm kind of thinking about my family, because my brother would have been, let's see, I'm 55, he would have been 53 today, you know, and all that. So,
well, sorry.
So, you know how that goes sometimes, you know, and all that, you know, and I kind of been thinking about my family, because I'm hearing all the stories about all these reporters being killed, and, you guys probably been hearing there's a lot of media challenging the governor of Veracruz, Mexico, because they're blaming him for the killings. You know, you don't want these reporters to say anything, so you kill him, or you know. And it doesn't say it doesn't have to be himself with his own hands. He can just pay somebody off. It said the same thing. He's still the killer, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of hard and stuff like that, you know. So, hey, by the way, if I'm Gibson, I didn't know Shannon Madden was a ladies' man, man. You know, I'm like, wow, I'm looking at the pictures. I'm like, what the hell?
Are you talking about my lady friend? She's listening in tonight. Hey, Carrie, how you doing? That's my new lady friend. I'm not going to brag about it too much more, but she's hot.
Okay, well, it's not like that. You know, sounds like she's a nice lady, you know.
She's the best, and she's very hot.
Okay, well, it's not like that. You know, one, I also send some, basically some hellos to all the activists around the world. Like that, and for those activists, by the way, they're calling the cops pigs. Stop calling the cops pigs. Don't insult my friends. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, dude. What those poor little piggies have to do with the damn ass cops? You know what I mean? It's like, come on, you know, stuff like that, you know. And also, want to send a hello to San Diego Changers. They're really doing some good stuff out there, Michelle and Steven and all that, you know. So it's always good to really, say. You know, hellos and shout outs to people that are doing some good work out there, you know, like Shannon Manning, S.M. Gibson, Nick Burnaby, you know,
the man, George, the legend. Nick and... Well, good deal. Well, man, we appreciate you calling in, Manny. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, that's it, brother. Just, you know, keep up the good work, you know?
Hey, man, we appreciate you, Manny. You do the same, too.
Thank you so much, Manny.
I can't wait to meet him in person. This is going to be so awesome.
Yeah, it was an absolute thrill when I got to meet him back at March Against Monsanto and back in May. So, real quick, for those of you who don't know the history, again, it's really a big deal, 70th anniversary of Hiroshima. 150,000 people died from the bombing. And, jeez, countless more from the side effects of the bombing that, you know, still really persist to this day over there. And, you know, 9/11, you know, was a horrible thing, and 3,000 people got killed. We're talking about 150,000 people in one day by this country. 3 days later, on August the 9th, 75,000 people in Nagasaki. You know, so it is what it is. It's history. There's nothing we can do about that. But it's unfortunate that our country, you know, was involved in that many deaths, and that bomb really, that it exists, it is just kind of a terrifying thing. And the fact that they want to, you know, keep updating these nuclear arsenals, like, what do you need to update? You already have the capacity to kill 150,000 people like that.
And a lot more now with the nuclear weaponry we have now. Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket.
It is, and it's terrifying. Going to bring on Chase. Chase, how you doing tonight, sir?
What up?
I'm doing good, man. What's up, man?
Can't complain.
Doing the thing, baby.
Yeah, man. I just got done watching the debate, dude.
What did you think about that debacle?
Dude, I'm not going to lie, man. Mike Huckabee said the most metal thing about our military ever. And he got asked a question about what does he feel about
I barely noticed.
He got on a couple of occasions. He didn't have his base in time. He'd have his base, trust me. It would have been standing room only.
He got asked how he felt about. I'm telling you this. I mean this was so entertaining, man. He got asked about how he felt about transgenders in the military.
Yeah,
and he said that.
I looked over.
No.
That came up. I was like, "Why are they even asking this question?"
His response was, well, and he got like serious look on his face, and he got like, I don't know, it's like I don't know. He had like this, I don't know, man. Like, it's like, and like. I can't explain it, man, but he said that the purpose of our military is to kill and break things. And then he went on talking about how it wasn't a fashion show. I was like, when he said that, I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Did he really just say that?
Oh, yeah. He said it with glee. And got a rounding applause after it, too, I might add.
Yeah, he had like his fist clenched saying, like, when he said it, I was like, did anybody just catch that? Did anybody just, I don't know, dude. I'm still just like, wow. A description of our military like that from somebody who is trying to be the president of the United States.
Yeah, the commander-in-chief of said military. Yeah, that's going to get him some
right. To kill and break things.
I mean, he's right, but yeah. They're winning his military boat out, veterans as well.
Look, so.
Mike, it was a good run.
The thing about this is that's so terrifying to me, and I think the reason that I enjoy talking about the theater of the whole thing is because it's pointing out how absolutely asinine the whole thing is and how ridiculous the whole system has become and the literal theater of it all. I really don't know any word other to describe it, because there's people that are watching this and saying, I'm going to vote for that guy, or I'm going to vote for that guy.
What like bugged me out the most, like going back to the, you know, I know we're like joking about the, like I was, you know, joking about the whole what Mike Huckabee said, but like, I don't know, man, because there was like, when he said that, though, there were people in the crowd applauding him. Like, the theater of that, to me, is scary. I mean, that's like some damn Nazi Germany shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
going back to what I was just talking about a moment ago, with the whole gay marriage debate popping up in the middle and the governor of Ohio making the claim that he did, and suddenly you had a couple other candidates, I didn't keep tabs on too, there's so much going on at once, but a couple of them kind of did respond in the affirmative to what he was saying, which is a huge shift in where the Republican Party was on that on that very same issue, 10 years ago?
But there's
5 years ago?
But we're at the point in this country now, you know, I think especially since the gay marriage laws have gone through, it's a divisive topic that isn't really getting to the heart of anything. These people are on stage talking about basically starting World War III. These people are on stage bragging about wanting to go bomb all these countries. And they're sitting here asking questions about...
Two thunderous applause, I might add.
The reason why, because there's so many people out there, I think, that are like, why watch the debates? Why keep up with it? Because you have to understand and remember that there is a large portion of Americans in this country that watch this and believe what these people are saying. And they watch to say, oh, wow, I'm going to vote for this guy. He's going to be a great leader, blah, 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 whatever they're thinking. And you have to be able to combat what these quote-unquote politicians are saying, and you have to point out the lies, because that's what's going to wake people up. Because these people are believing it. If you just completely shut off from the world that this is happening and just say, well, you know, it's all rigged, which it is, but if you just say it's all rigged, I'm not going to pay attention, then you're never going to reach these people that are buying into this. You're never going to reach these people that are buying into this system that think Donald Trump's going to save the world, or who... Does Jeb Bush have any supporters? I don't know. But, you know, Jeb Bush would make a good president. Whatever these people think, you have to be able to say, well, actually, he's going to do this. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. And he's full of crap. That's how you reach those people.
Well, do you remember all the campaign
promises? Ignoring that whole thing isn't going to help anybody.
You remember all the campaign promises that Obama came in, old fresh-faced Obama back in 2008. Remember that guy? Boy, he was, I mean, just on fire and was bouncing up and down and had all the grandiose ideas, and we're going to give y'all free health care, and we're going to do this, and we're going to take, in fact, he actually spoke largely about actually decreasing our nuclear arsenal in some of his original
Just this week, the Nobel Peace Prize winning president was basically bragging that he had sent tens of thousands of troops into combat, and that he had ordered strikes, military strikes, on 7 different countries. This is our Nobel Peace Prize winning president.
Yeah, the Hope and Change and the Platform of Peace, and we're going to end all these damn wars.
So we know that what these politicians are going to do. You know, if you've got somebody like Obama that, you know, is saying stuff that a lot of people do agree with, we're tired of the wars, we're tired of this, we're tired of that, close Guantanamo, still hasn't happened. The people that are saying they are going to bomb people, how much worse is it going to be? If you've got a guy that says, I'm not going to do any of this, I'm going to bring all the, you know, troops home, we're going to end the wars, we're still in Afghanistan, And let's not kid ourselves, we're still in Iraq, too. It's just
all up in the Middle East. Our military presence has not changed or just shifted.
Again, let me repeat the stat. We've killed over 100 children in Iraq and Syria over the past year. Nobel Peace Prize winning president.
There were children holding guns, right? Oh, no, that didn't happen.
I will say this, the Mint Press posted a thing on Facebook a few days ago that really got me thinking. I can't believe I didn't even realize it. I mean, of course, all this stuff with like Trump and all this that's going on, it's theater. Of course, it's theater. But the Mint Press posted a thing. They posted a little meme on their Facebook page the other day that really got me thinking. If anybody can see the similarities of what's going on right now versus what was going on back in 1992. And the Mint Press pointed this out, and I was like, man, I did not even realize the similarities. But look at 92, all right? You had Clinton and Bush running against each other. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in the debate and in the run, this the way the Mint Press put it was this wacky billionaire comes out of the blue, or Ross Perot comes out of the blue. And
I remember
debate,
that guy.
And he's shaking up. Well, the Mint Press pointed this out, and they said, well, look what's going on now. You've got Clinton and Bush running against each other, and all of a sudden this wacky billionaire has come out of the blue to shake up the election and has shooken up the election. I'm telling you, man, Trump ain't going to win, dude. And I really think it's going to be Bush. I mean, I know that's messed up. I really think it's going to be Bush. I think Bush is going to win.
Whether it's Bush or it's Hillary, I think you're going to get the exact same policy.
Hey, yeah, you're the outcome.
Exactly.
It doesn't, you know, the outcome is kind of indifferent with 50% of the people running, I guess.
Either one of them will have to show up at a Donald Trump wedding. I'm just saying. they're morally obligated now.
They are.
And helping friends.
What's so sad is, you know, with those two candidates specifically, which are the two candidates most people think will end up getting the nomination, you're voting for the same candidate either way. You're literally no choice.
It's all the same party. It's the same big old pile of money.
It's
the same big old pile of money. You know, people don't realize that. And I don't know how many people feel about, like, Rand Paul, and I'm not sure. I haven't really, honestly, I haven't keeping up with him like I should have, like keeping up with all the candidates, really, but particularly with, like, Rand Paul.
I'll tell you like, this, Rand Paul is not his father at all. He's not even in the
He's not. I'll tell you, he's not his father. He's more of your conservative. He even tells you, hey, I'm a conservative, and I'm not a conservative, but, you know, he even tells you that. But I know that he's probably, and I'm probably giving him a little bit too much credit, but he's probably not taking as much kickbacks as everybody else. You understand
as
what
much.
I'm saying?
As much as still taking it.
Yeah, he's still part of the Republican Party. Let's not kid ourselves.
We need
Hey, I'm not saying vote. I'm not telling anybody anything.
That's the real free candy.
You know what I'm saying?
Right there. Come on now.
Yeah, the politicians are the ones getting all the free candy.
Paul gets free candy.
We need to have a journalist Luke Rakowski come on sometime and tell a story about an incident he had with Rand Paul that I think is just pretty fascinating. We need to remind me of that, Shannon. We need to get Luke on and talk about
it
that.
It should be the same episode that we get Vermin Supreme on. Hello.
Working on it.
I hope so.
Still working on it. I'm going to get your guy on here.
Free candy. Free ponies. Boot hat.
He's got a boot hat. I'll give him that. But I tell you what, Chase, thank you so much for calling in this evening and sharing your thoughts on the debate.
Hey, y'all, how y'all, man? I'll take it easy, man.
Later,
peace.
All right, so it looks like we're pretty much screwed because all these politicians seem to be bought and paid for in one way, shape, or form. It appears that they're pretty much all going to start bombing and start World War III. The best thing we can do is peacefully assemble in the streets and let
and pray we don't get shot by a police officer.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, there is a time and a place to stand up and show your disgust. And going out and voting, that's, you know, that's also rigged at this point. That I don't believe that's really going to make the difference here. I do believe what's going to make the difference is standing in front of the courthouses and saying we need to get the money out of politics first and foremost. That has to happen because we're talking about $1 billion to become president of the United States to get what, $400,000 job.
Oh yeah, that's all they get paid. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but they spend $1 billion for that.
What is how much is Obama's net worth at this point? And bear in mind, he hasn't left office yet and got his big book deal.
I don't know what it is now. I know a couple years ago it was 20-something million, but he came in like right around 5 million, so it had quadrupled during his time. It could be way
so that was
that
from
now.
All the money that he earned in the wait a minute now. Let's see here.
Those are blind.
500,000.
Those are all blind trusts. So,
friends have sure friends.
That's it.
Yeah. And I wonder how many weddings he's going to have to show up to.
I mean, that's something that that's what Americans should be talking about after this debate is they just said it's an oligarchy, which Jimmy Carter just got done saying. Mm-hmm. The politicians are bought and paid for. It was said live on national TV. Trump admitted
by
to
the
doing
man
it.
Writing
and then,
the text.
What was even so funny is the politicians on the stage who he hadn't given money to were like, "Ooh, you can give me money. Ooh, you can give me money." That's all these people care about.
I'm sure that they saw him backstage and said, "Hey, how can we get in on some of that?" You know, you're not going to win because Fox News pretty much already rigged that up. Fox News got up his ass sideways.
Finally. Well,
about time somebody did.
But again, he's the jester. He's the Ross Perot with a worse haircut.
And no pie charts.
That is saying a lot. But
I love those pie charts and little.
But everything's
stuff,
a distraction, and I believe that. You know, it's very feasible. He is running a distraction to put Jeb Bush in there, especially since Trump kept praising Jeb Bush tonight and said, "Oh, he's such a gentleman. He's so this, he's so that." And notice, you know, he was calling everybody stupid and attacking people, but not really so much Jeb Bush. And that's what they're angling for. What if Trump goes and puts his, you know, he's got all this quote-unquote support, and then he pushes it all behind Jeb? That's it. Game over.
Mm-hmm.
Because Americans have shown that they'll just follow the ridiculousness. So many people are like, "Well, we don't want another Bush. We don't want another Bush." You watch. You'll get another Bush while people are saying they don't want another Bush.
I've said it the whole time. He is definitely the handpicked front runner. His family is very, very well connected to corporate America. Corporate America has been put a lot of corporate America, executives and directors and vice presidents and so on and so forth have quietly wound up in government administration, working towards enforcing policy or creating policy to benefit the companies that they represent. We see this time and time and time and time again, to where your lobbyists are suddenly becoming the people that, you know, they're not necessarily your congresspeople or your president, but they're the people that are working for them.
I tell you what, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Anti-Media Radio. We'll be back next week. You can listen to Nick Burnaby on Monday. LaVon will be here tomorrow night. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Furman Supreme 2016. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.